We're gonna be, we're already recording, Cody. We can't fuck this up anymore. Let's get it. All right. We are back from a fucking almost 2 weeks break from GU in the studio. My liver fucking thought it was gonna get a break, and I was in quarantine. So when we were up there, and I did not get a break. It got worse. We got Gray in the house behind the cameras. We got Skinny Code in front of the camera today. And we got the fucking, the man that's more deadlier than the plague, Aaron Snyder.
Back by popular demand.
Man, I must say, dude, I kid you not, I threw that little thing on my IG. And I shit you not, between you and Nestor,
it was a tough race.
Well, you got the upper hand.
I just want Alex to know I beat him.
you definitely got the upper hand, but you know how, like, the whole Cam Rogan 2020?
Yeah.
I think you guys could probably give him a good push.
Run for the
yeah,
money.
Yeah, I honestly do.
Nestor Snyder 2020? What a shit show that would be.
Oh, I think it'd be funny. Like, but
he's funny.
You went out hunting with him, right?
I did. I was on that hunt with Dudley, and then I shot a buck. And then I went back out there and took Amy, and I just went and got an antelope.
So when you guys did that, how were you guys pretty close hunting with next to Dudley and shit?
Yeah, so which I think Alex wants to do another podcast, but Alex sent me to a spot. I didn't have my tag yet. It was early in the morning. I don't think the store opened up until like 9 or something. So Nestor's like, hey, go over and glass. And he told me this specific spot. He said, dude, there's, you know, this specific deer I'm looking for. Kind of explained it and said, you know, just keep your eye out on it. And fucking thing walked in front of my truck. I'm glassing where I think they should be. And it walks 300 yards left to right in front of me. And I'm like, so I had the spotter on the window mount, and I'm counting points, and I'm like, that's not fucking it. That's a good one, like whether that's the right one. So you know how Nestor is, right? No one's as smart as Nestor. I'm like, call him. Like, he just left. I'm like, dude, it's right in front of me. Snyder, is it big? I'm like, it's fucking big, dude. It's 190. How big is it? And I'm like, it's got 5 on one side, 7 on another. It's 28 inches wide, dude. It's big. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, well, if he's not going to fucking shoot it, I will. Okay. I was like, it's big. So I text him a photo, and I mean, the earth stopped. Like, I'm going back to get him. So he hauls ass, goes and gets Dudley. Dudley comes out. We didn't get it on it that day. Got on it the next day, and then he killed it the day after that. And so that the next, you know, that day I went in and got my tag, and that night I missed a big coal buck. It was a 28, 30 inch wide 3x4 at 9 yards.
Wait, you missed a one at 9 yards?
I did.
God damn it. We're going to have to start lessons back up with American Bowman, aren't we?
I know, right? I got in super close. I was with Josh, and you know, I told him, I was like, dude, go back, get this thing to stand up. And it stood, and I had a hole to shoot through the brush, and I clipped something on the way through, and it went over it. And then the next day, Dudley was on the one buck, and we went out. And anyway, we bedded a bunch of deer down. And I walked in, you know, on them, and I got so close I could smell them.
Yeah.
Like, fucking bushes were like 10 feet tall. I couldn't see. And I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, Snyder, keep in your pants. They're right here. I got lucky. The one in above me was moving around in his bed, and there was one 9, 10, 12, 14 yards, whatever it was, in front of me. He stood up and looked up away from me at the buck above him, and I shot at it from me to that loophole sign.
Oh, shit.
And, and Josh and I went over and got it in. It was a cold buck.
So, like, on something like that, how far did it run?
60 yards.
Oh, shit.
I put it, I mean, literally as pinwheel as you can get through both lungs and hit the offside leg. And when he ran off, I mean, what Nestor's looking for is, you know, 4 or 5 year old bucks that just aren't going to grow into what they,
right,
you know, want. And so I was more than happy to take care of that problem. So, you know, Nestor, I shoot this buck. It's giant body. It's a 3x4. And he pulled over. He's like, Snyder, you shot a dink. I'm like, motherfucker, you told me to shoot a coal buck. I'm like, it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
Well, no, we want you to kill it. It's just small. And I'm like, well, not that small. Yeah. I'm more than happy with it. You know, I was tickled pink.
But. That's the problem with he wanted me to go out there and help him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I started thinking. I was like, fuck, if I go out there and help him and I make him shoot a fucking, somebody shoot a fucking 180 two-year-old.
Yeah.
He'll be pissed as fuck at me, right? Like, well,
and the thing is, like, you've got to be no different than mountain goats or, like, whitetails. I just got back, you know, and there's pretty strict rules down there as far as what you can and can't shoot on these properties. That's how they let me hunt on them is I can shoot whatever buck I want, but when cold bucks come in, and there was actually one guy, I had to block him. I shot that two-point, and a perfect example of a cold buck. It's a 4 or 5-year-old two-point, right? It's whatever. Right. And I just posted, I think I said something, made a great shot on this buck, took it out of the gene pool, kept the landowner happy. What amazing night. He said, he sent this scathing-ass message to me. He's like, white, not every animal can be a booner. Why are you making excuses for shooting it? That's a horrible representation of the outdoor. And I'm like, dude, I messaged him and I said, you know, of course, millennial, right, played the victim. I said, hey, man, you should probably keep your mouth closed until you learn a little bit more about me. I'm kind of the guy that shoots whatever. Like, I don't apologize for any animal I shoot. I said, I encourage people to shoot what makes them happy. And he came back, oh, I guess I'm not going to support Cafaro if you're going to come at me like that. And I'm like, well, dude, I'm just defending myself. Like, you came at me, you know. I was like, I was just explaining, like, I actually am the guy that you're talking about. I promote guys doing what makes them happy, and the internet's weird, but the buck was big enough for me. I was super happy. And
well,
and,
the one I saw, I saw you shoot fucking what, 3 or 4 of them down there. Yeah.
Yeah. I shot a lot.
I was like, holy shit, those are all nice deer.
Yeah. I shot 3 really good bucks. And then I shot one, cold buck, which was actually the biggest body when he came in. You know, I looked out and I'm like, holy shit, because it was wide.
Right.
And they come out of this sagebrush like whack-a-mole from the tree stand. They just start popping their heads up right around 6 o'clock to come in, and there's an ag field behind me. When he came in at first, I thought, holy shit, that's a big 8-point. He turned his head to the side and I'm like, oh, that's a forked horn. And he came straight to me on the trail and it walked right under me, and I shot him. He went about 50 yards. And when he came under me, the shot I had, he was walking. I didn't want to take the shot. He got out in front of me, and I shot him at steep corner and away. And that was something else that, you know, guys were messaging me about this, that angle, and it was a bad shot. And I'm like, I ran 50 yards and died. I was like, it was a pretty good shot.
Fucking people just love to fucking talk.
Well, I think people, you know, in fairness, I don't think people understand anatomy. Now, if you gut shoot an animal and it lives for a long time, and, you know, obviously that's bad. But if you ring one through the stomach, up through the liver, lungs, and it, you know, dies in, like, in this case, like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
They were at, like, a lot of people were like, dude, that ruins all the meat. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, no, it doesn't. And I didn't want to, I was trying to do more of a learning thing. So I'm going to do a video on shot angles, because it's a shot that in the right situation, you are shooting them in the stomach, but it, you know, goes up into the lungs and heart. Yeah. Same place I shot my antelope. And, it's a lethal shot, but it's not one you want to take all the time. If the animal's alert, you know, you got a tight window, but I mean, I don't know, died in 50 yards. So.
So when you were in Texas, and like, did you go out to Texas later last year? In
the season? Yep.
Okay. So that's what kind of I was thinking, but fuck, it was, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would have said, totally took that shot like that too.
Yeah.
Cause that's definitely getting the lungs and everything all the way through there.
It only ran 50 yards.
Yeah.
But fuck, I got bashed to high hell for that from people for that shot.
Hey.
But I went a little bit later. We were rattling them in last year. This was more like pre-rut, a little bit of bucks. I didn't do hardly any calling. I did shoot a couple bucks that were chasing does. In fact, the one I shot with my compound, I brought my compound because of this one specific area. A lot of times they swing wide from where the stand's at, and it's a 40 to 50-yard shot. And so I brought the compound, and when he came in, it was actually funny. It looked like wind chimes. I had my back quiver with my compound arrows, my recurve and one easy hanger, my compound, another. Wind was blowing, shit's hit me in the head. This thing comes in and he's like 65 yards, and I immediately grabbed the compound and he hit a doe, ran right under me, and I shot him at 9 yards with the compound. I was like, fuck, I should have had the recurve.
So did when you were in Texas though, it was fucking cold there, it looked like.
Yeah, it was cold most of the days. They were high of 28, you know, 30, and then it got down. I think when I shot that elk, it was 14 or 18 degrees and 20 mile an hour wind gusts. And then Scotty and Wes went after an elk the next day, and I went back in the stand, and Scotty's like, "You sure?" I'm like, "I can make it, dude. I'm counting on my fingers. Okay, if I get in at 3:30, 4:35, 7:30, 4, 4 and a half, I can make it, right? I can take it." And I'm like, "But man, we need to leave a truck I can get to." And I'm like, "Otherwise, I'm going to be building a fucking fire with my survival kit if they get an elk." So they left a truck about a half mile from me I could walk to if I needed. And it was
cold.
It was cold. It was really, really cold. But I don't think people understand North Texas is not what people think it is. There's no high fence up there. It's extremely, the weather, it snows up there, it gets really cold, and it's a vast area, and it's just, it's ag and cattle land, so.
And that's where Scott Tipo, what is it called?
Topo, Texas.
Topo, Texas. Yeah, and how many fucking does did you shoot out there?
I shot a lot. I kind of lost count. They had depredation tags and everything else, but it was a wild trip because I shot that elk too. And then I broke out that rifle. That's another thing, actually.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I hit that coyote. So those coyotes chase after the dog. So Di, Scott's wife, was like, she wanted me to kill him because there's a coyote problem. So and she's super quiet. She's got really quiet voice. And she's like, "Guys, there's coyotes in the wood." And I was like, "Oh." So I ran in and grabbed my gun, and Scotty ranged them, and we were on the fence right outside their horse corral. And he said 3:15, and I flipped it, you know. We thought it was dead. This is something else. I mean, I lost a lot of followers and got horrible messages about this. So it's far, right? So we drive out and around to get to it. I grab my phone to video what happened, right? So I'm like, okay, and I get up to it. Well, it's still alive. So
what, the coyote?
The coyote's still alive, right? So shut the camera off. I'm like, "Scott, grab the gun or my knife or something." So anyway, we finish off the coyote, and I take a couple pictures. I did not even, and this is my fault, there should have been context behind the photo. There's a photo of, I screenshot the film, and there's a photo of that coyote growling.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a fucking bad move on my part, because they're like, "I can't believe you take a photo with a wounded animal." And I was like, "Well, man, guys, I didn't walk up and do a photo shoot with a wounded animal. I was filming."
Yeah.
And once we found out it was alive, I finished it off. But I didn't think it was that. I should have put context behind the photo. Fuck, I got a lot of hate mail over that. And, you know, me being me, I knew what happened. I was there, so I didn't even think twice about it. I was just what it was. But holy shit, did I get bashed over that.
Yep, the fucking people will speak.
Well, I messaged a few of them back. I'm like, "Guys, I think you'd give me the benefit of the doubt, at least ask the question, right?" Like, you know, a guy asked, and I said, "Yeah, I walked up filming it." And, you know, and the guy was like, "He just messaged me back, said, you're a piece of shit." And I was like, "Cool. I didn't walk up filming it knowing it was fucking alive. I thought it was dead." And then we put the phone away and I killed it. I was like, "Holy cow." It is the internet.
Yeah, man. Here's the thing on that whole thing. Like, I get it if it was a deer and the people are getting a little, you know, butthurt about it, but it's a fucking coyote, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I don't think people care about that. And I mean, I get where they're coming from. I just was like, "Guys, you could ask me what happened before you call me a totally worthless piece of shit," but whatever.
Well, you know what? The shoe fits, you got to wear.
I know, right?
I've never seen that. But I saw this morning all on your Instagram. I was like, "Oh, shit, okay. He's back in Colorado," I saw. But then I saw all the arrows that you fucking went through.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's good. A lot of, you know, doing broadhead and arrow testing, penetration tests.
Yeah. So on like, what would you say your most successful broadhead has been?
The Rocky Mountain 3-blade and the Iron Will Wide.
Really?
Both of them are, I don't know, like, I filmed a couple blood trails and.
Just been crazy?
Just ridiculous. I hit a buck or a doe low and, but yeah, like low heart lung, and just, it's a faucet, you know, with a dude, blood was everywhere. I was like, "I'm going to film this." What, guys were like, "Did you lose it?" And I'm like, "How the hell would I lose it? There was 5 gallons of blood." I'm like,
"Holy shit."
You know how cold my hands get.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't feel my fucking finger. So I filmed and I put my phone back in and I got it. Honestly, I cut the animal open so I could warm my hands up.
Yeah.
And, to pull the guts out so I could feel the, I couldn't feel my fucking fingers. I'd sat there 4.5 hours in 20, 30 mile an hour winds and, you know, mid 20, low 20 degree weather.
And it's fucking Texas, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know people were messaging me like, are you really in Texas? I'm like, yeah, it's that cold up. Well, when I shot that Owdad 3 years ago, it was 6 degrees when I shot that one Owdad that you. So
yeah, when I go to Texas, I don't want nothing like that.
Yeah. South Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we hunt.
I don't want nothing to do with any of that cold shit.
Tank tops and t-shirts and flip-flops.
it was cold. There was the power was out for 4 days, I think, 3 days.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we were cooking on the NMSR reactor and making sandwiches and building fires. They got wood stoves. So that worked out good. But, yeah, Scotty's a hoot. He did a giveaway for a Owdad hunt.
That's I saw that.
Because I'm going to guide for him in, you know, January, February, March, helping him out down there. And
he's doing it with Base Map, you guys. Tito.
Yeah, yeah. I lumped in marsupial gear with that giveaway. So Scotty's just, he's funny. And, you know, I mean, literally the dude's as nice as it gets. It's just fun hunting with him. But he, like every, you know, I'd come, my, you know, I was with him. Oh, I missed a mule deer. A
big, oh, shit.
Big mule deer with the compound. And I think it was freezing rain and fucking cold. And we got out of the truck. Walked up over the hill and Scotty spotted him. He's like, right there, right there. And they were both bedded and it was a big 3x4. And when we were out of real estate and Scott ranged, it was 82. And I'm like, dude, I'll smoke it. And it was like the recurve god was fucking with me because I had the compound. Because every time that release would click, whoosh,
a win.
Seven times I drew back on that thing.
Yeah, and dude, that's a struggle. That's what I always have the problem with.
Well, I got a solid wind, and yeah, I got a solid wind where it stopped, you know, steady wind or whatever. It's totally stopped. I mean, at perfect shot and shot right under it. And I'm like, are you sure that was 82? He's like, fuck, man, I don't know. It's fucking grass. And I'm like, I don't think it was 82, dude. I said that was
further?
Yeah, it was like 86. I shot under it, which whatever is a good. I mean, it would have been cool to shoot an elk, a whitetail, and a mule deer, and a coyote. But
you, so bring take me back to the fucking elk. Yeah. How the fuck's that happen in Texas?
So there's a guy that put elk, and it wasn't high fence. Bunch of people asked. There is no high fence in North Texas. But
hey, before you give me one of your lippers here, I'm gonna feel fucked up here real quick.
Oh, good lord! I'm gonna take one first.
Cody, will you grab me one more?
Yep.
So. In Oklahoma, which I was hunting Oklahoma and Texas when I was down there. There was a guy who put a bunch of elk on his land in Oklahoma, and there's elk seasons in Oklahoma. I think that's
big ass elk in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I think this is what happened, and that was many years ago when those elk have spread, so they go into Texas because we're right on the border, and we were just looking. You know, we had guys tell us that they'd seen them in there on the Texas side. We went in there wet, and we actually jumped them. We were driving on a truck that came out of a draw, drove around, and we parked, and it was cold. This was the coldest day we had. And so Wes and Scotty and I all split up trying to find them, and Scotty and I got back to the truck, and Wes came up. He's like, I found him. I'm like, all right. So we all went down, and it's loud, like crunchy loud.
Okay, so is Wes Scott's son. Yep. Okay, I got to put two and two together.
And he's a bad motherfucker. That dude's tough.
Is he?
Yeah, he doesn't say a whole lot, but he's a tough son of a bitch. So we go over and we walk up. I fucked Scott over is the moral of this story. So we get on top of him, and I'm like, I'm pointing where they're at, and they're pointing. And I think Scott thought when I pointed down I was going to shoot that one, but I didn't have a shot at that one. There was brush in the way, and he was like 46. So one came to my left out of the brush on this ridge line, and it was farther, but I felt good with the shot. So I ranged it, and I shot it, and it turns out I shot the elk Scott was going to shoot.
Oh, shit.
He's like, I thought you were going to shoot down one lower. It'd come closer to me because it was a pretty far shot. And
now that'd be too easy.
20 yards farther than where Scott was.
Oh, shit.
I launched one, and it was cool. That was like a 500 plus pound cow. It was a big cow elk. So,
how the fuck you bring all this meat back?
So I brought multiple deer back in my truck, and then I took the elk and some deer to the processor in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Cause I can shoot, you know, I was obviously hunting, You can shoot one deer per county in Texas. So I got to kind of county jump. You shoot does wherever, but you got to, you know, different counties, you got to jump around. And then in Oklahoma, I can shoot all this, you know, I can shoot two bucks in the same county. So I just jumping around a lot. And then we took some of the meat to the processor down there. And then I took some up here, just drove them back in the back of the truck.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's so cold there, frozen. So
yeah. Goddamn, your fucking taxidermy bill. Oh, yeah, you don't have taxidermy nothing. Your if meat processing, bro, is going to be crazy.
It'd be probably $4,000 total.
God damn it.
Lord.
Yeah. With the I think it was $1,200 or $1,100 for the buffalo and the mule deer. I got to go pick up that mule deer out east. And then we had my antelope and then, well, no, we processed that. And then Amy's antelope. And then.
What about the buffalo?
The buffalo was almost $1,200.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That buffalo would probably fill your whole fucking.
It filled up one freezer.
Yeah, that's what
we bought another one, so we got five now. You know, people ask me all the time, what do you do with all that meat? I'm like, fuck, you think I fucking eat it? I eat 400 pounds of raw meat, and then the dogs eat burger. And then, you know, I give it to buddies. And Amy, when she sells houses, she does a gift pack of, like, wild game or whatever. So,
what do you consider me as?
What's that? You need meat?
Am I a buddy?
Well, you know he needs me. You know he's not shooting as me.
Dog, I got world class. Honestly, I want to try some of that buffalo.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around how from, you know, all I got from Mountain Primal was fucking barbecue sauce, and you guys all got steaks and shit.
I honestly don't know how you. I even messaged him. I said, "How the fuck did you guys just send Aaron barbecue sauce?" He goes, "Bullshit." We send them the same box we send all you guys.
I think Frank got it then.
So Frank got it. Because Justin even got a box. And
that barbecue sauce is good.
Because we went over to his house last night in his neighborhood to trick or treat with Eva.
Yeah.
And he was cooking those hot links. They were making chili dogs.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, this shit is the bomb. And I was like, what is it? He goes, it's that primal meat. And I said, oh, yeah, they're a little spicy too. And he goes, yeah, it's the best. But either way, I'll make you a deal. I said, give me some of that bison. I want to try some of that bison. And then we'll talk to Mountain Primal. I think they even have bison on their ranch and stuff. They? Yeah, they do. They have elk, bison. I mean, they got all kinds of shit, too.
I think I got the processor was I'm trying to think, 600 and some pounds at the processor, and then I kept the tenderloins.
From the buffalo?
From the buffalo,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was big. It was a big buffalo.
So
that when thing you, took fucking arrows like it was his job.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you. Like, would you give him five or six?
Five.
Yeah, me and Cody, we were in Texas, and we saw Clarkson kill a buffalo, and... What do you have, a 357 mag?
No.
It was a big fucking gun, dude.
Is it a rifle?
Maybe it's a 44 mag.
Yeah, it was something. Okay. Either way.
No, I was shooting a 357, so I know it wasn't. I think it was a 44 mag.
Okay. Well, either way, that fucking buffalo took fucking six or seven shots.
I'll show you the video. So the first shot was the top of the bottom third straight through the lungs. Ran over into the group, and it was wobbly, and I'm like, it'll go down, and it didn't. I hit it again, straight through the lungs, like straight perfect mid-body. It ran off, and I shot one at it running, and I actually hit it at a good distance, but I hit it in the femoral, and then it laid up, and then I shot it again through the lungs, and I shot it another time, and I was not, at that point, I'm like, well, I can't kill it again, like, it's gonna die, and it just takes a long time for him to die. You see those Native American pictures where there's like 40
arrows,
wood arrows sticking in them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's probably
it's the truth. I swear to God, that's the truth because like they're stick on, and you got to realize they didn't have the poundage of what you guys have. You know,
no, and I had a bunch of people ask me if I changed my setup, and I shot Black Eagle Rampages. You know, they're 600 grains, and I shot I hit it with a Cutthroat 3 blade, the Cutthroat Standard, and an Iron Will Wide. Everyone but the one in the back zipped through it. Not zipped through it, passed through it, and then the veins were holding in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was it was cool. It was cool to see, cool to eat. Big buffalo, Jesus.
Well, the thing you would change was probably the FMJs, huh? You would have went to FMJs.
Negative
ghost. Probably would have went fucking one arrow and went done.
I tell you what, I shot those severs at some of the whitetails.
Mm-hmm. How were those?
Good. Really good. I mean, the only downside with a mechanical, the blades aren't as beefy as a fixed, obviously. Right. But those things make some holes. I was shooting.
Really?
Well, I'm shooting. It's a 580 grain arrow at 82 pounds or 80, whatever it is. And I've got 240 grains up front. And
holy shit.
It's pretty devastating. I hit one doe. I shouldn't even talk about distances. I hit one doe quite a ways out there and pinwheel 12 and broke the offside leg at like 84 yards.
Oh my God,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it was pretty with a two inch wide cut.
So. I just had bad experience with mechanicals. I don't know if I can go back to them.
You know, I was talking with Bill earlier with Iron Will today, and he was asking me, and I'm like, you know, like one, I took a second shot. I hit a doe high with my recurve, and I grabbed my compound to finish it off, and it was a really steep angle, and it somersaulted off of it because of the steep angle, which happens with mechanicals. If you hit it at that steep of angle, one blade will open, it'll pivot off the side. There's goods and bads if you got the right setup. I mean, obviously, I shoot mechanicals. Very, you know, not nearly as much, you know, because I'm shooting this recurve. But it's pretty hard to beat a fixed blade. But, you know, when guys can't tune, you know, they'll use mechanicals or can't get good flight. But, you know, overall it was good just because I got to test so many different arrow combos and broadhead combos and a lot of animals. So you just don't get to shoot that kind of stuff in the West, that kind of numbers.
Right. Cody, you okay?
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking?
I mean, he's looking.
I'm trying to follow along here.
He's looking deep in your eyes, like, God damn, this guy.
That first buck I shot in the really cold, you know, weather. I went out. I think Scott and I had to go into town, to Canadian or some town, anywhere, Pampa maybe. And you know, I said, hey, I'm going out here, and I got in that tree stand, and there's a game camera on a trail in front of me. And I got in early. I always do. And I sit a long, long time. And I tried to explain that. One of the reasons I'm successful is I watch the wind so I don't get in a bad set. I don't get a tree stand with a bad wind. You know, I sit forever. And, you know, I sit where I'm warm enough. And I set up to where there's not a lot of movement. You know, common sense stuff. But even though people, you know, yak at you for using the phone, there's not a lot of movement when I'm answering emails. It's just my thumbs. And so I try to stay alert, but it keeps you in a stand longer. Well, this... it's darker than shit. I can't see anything. And I'm sitting there and the wind's blowing. I can't hear anything. And I see that red on the infrared on the game camera off. And I'm like, there's a deer below me. I see it go off again. And I'm like, so I grabbed my binos and I looked and I was like, there's three fucking giant bucks below me. I was like, holy shit. And now I'm like, please, son, come up. Please come up. And I can shoot. Like, legal shooting light down there is not, I couldn't see. When it, like, technically, I looked at my watch, and I'm like, it's legal shooting light, and I couldn't see shit. I'm like, it was cloudy.
Probably more for rifle hunters and stuff.
With a good scope. It was foggy. Yep. And I'm like, I drew back twice, and I'm like, I'm going to shoot this thing in the fucking ear. I can't see shit. So my hands were cold, so I tucked put my limb tip on my boot, and I tucked my hands or arms around my bow and put my hands in my muff and was just trying to not breathe. I was fucking cold, right? And I'm like, just come out, please, just come on, son. And finally, it got light enough, and I shot that one good, is a 9-point. It just pinwheeled it, and it ran off, and I was like, whoo-hoo, okay. Well, now I'm so freaking cold. I'm like, okay, I'm doing squats in the stand to kind of warm up because I wanted to sit, see if any more does came through or anything else. And it was cool. I mean, I, you know, with when you tree stand hunt in cold weather, you need to be accustomed or good friends with pain, no matter how much clothing you have on, because eventually you're going to get cold. But I did good. I just, my feet get cold.
It's a
problem. So
my deal is, like, when I go whitetail hunt, I'm fucking sitting in a blind or a box blind. So I can have a Mr. Buddy heater.
That's a good idea.
I don't fucking, it better be fucking warm if I'm going to sit in a tree stand. Because it's miserable then. I'm a bitch.
Well, and my body stays super warm, you know, because my system is pretty dialed on that. It's just eventually my feet get cold. And depending upon the set and when they're coming from feed to bed and everything else, I'll get in really early, earlier than maybe even I probably should. But I worry about, you know, you can't see anything when you're walking in and your wind's blowing, you know, whatever direction the wind blows, which could be into an area that they're coming from. And so if I got to loop way around in case it's going to blow them out of where they're feeding or whatever, I'll do that. And it's been good for me. I mean, I've been very successful with it, but you also have potentially an hour of pain sitting in the stand of not seeing shit because it's dark and just freezing to death. So.
Yeah, because you want to be out there before the fucking
yeah
animals start moving. What is, like, when you fucking are you know, on a fucking killing spree, like fucking, you know, what, I mean, when is enough is enough?
I don't know. And in this case, like with talking with Amy, we're running numbers with the
5 freezers.
Like, what do you mean? I know. No, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love it. That's why I love Texas, because you can shoot like hogs.
Yeah.
Unlimited. I mean, I would shoot the fuck out of does all the day long too, because I like to shoot.
And I mean, you know, there's MLD tags down there. I got a couple mule deer MLD tags and whitetail depredation tags, things like that. But what we did is ran the numbers of what the dogs are eating in raw meat, because they eat burger, and then what I eat, which is about generally about 400 pounds a year, what Amy eats, and then friends coming over and everything else, and we base it off of that. And then, like, I've got that mule deer tag. I was actually going to grab you this morning, but I figured you were hungover from Halloween. I've got a mule deer tag down by Denver. And so I'm not going to shoot anything unless it's, you know, in that 175, 180 range. And then these other mule deer hunts, I'm going to start. I got some phone calls in partnering in with, like, Feed the Hungry.
Oh, cool.
You know, they have one for veterans. It's the one I'm trying to get involved in. They make jerky for veterans because – I've had people tell me I kill too much and it's not fair, but I don't think they realize how much I eat as part of it. And then, two, we feed my dogs raw meat, so they eat 3 pounds a day each.
My deal is, if you're not fucking, if you're just doing it to kill, then yeah, whatever. That's your deal. That's on you. But you're obviously doing things. You're doing multiple things. You're testing products. You're trying to get better than me. You're fucking, you know, feeding your family.
Yeah,
your dogs,
my friends,
your friends. Fuck, I'm
because I got a whole.
I'm yet to be in that friend loop yet. Fuck,
I've got a whole company of people that eat wild game too. So I bring them, you know, put it in the company freezer, and they can grab it and everything as well. And you know, we've got almost 40 employees. So
yeah, that's cool.
Well, and anytime we have somebody that's not a hunter that wants to try wild game, it's nice to have that so they can kind of introduce them to get them into, you know, if there's ever a vote, I'd like them to be for hunting, not against it. So
right I don't know.
I did not eat the coyote, by the way, for everybody asking.
No hell no.
Yeah, coyote's not for me.
How was it shooting that gun though?
It was cool. You know, I can shoot you know, fairly well with a rifle. I'm not dialed in on the long distance stuff, but that bullet's so flat that I mean, honestly, at 315, I put the crosshairs right on its back and, you know, put smacked it down. It. So, yeah, it was fun. I don't know. We're going to take it down for our dad just so clients will have it if they want to, you know, chuck the bow and grab the gun. I'll pack it around for that. And then, obviously, if anything's wounded, I can put it down. One thing I have been always really good at is the offhand shots. I shot 3 wounded animals last year to finish them off offhand on a dead run. And, it's something I've always naturally been good. I can't shoot a pistol for shit. Like, I'd miss gray from here probably first out, but with a rifle offhand, like, I hit that one deer at 270 on a dead run. Amy was funny. She's like, I wanted to have sex with you, because I was running to get a better angle, and then I stopped and brought the gun up, and I let it the first shot too much. It was with Di's gun, Scotty's wife, and I let it too much. Zipped right in front of it, and it gained another 50 yards by the time I target, you know, I reacquiring the target, right? Fuck, blew me off, and I got back on it and rolled it on the second shot. And Scotty was like, God damn,
that's
you
awesome.
Can shoot a fucking gun, can't you? And I'm like, well, the problem is with long distance, I know nothing other than repeating what John Pinch and Ryan Avery have taught me about bullet flight and dialing and shit. I just get closer. I don't know how to do that shit.
That's funny. Man, I honestly, maybe that's what I need to do, is bring my wife out and watch me shoot something with a rifle.
Yes.
Jeez.
I think she's tired of seeing me miss with my bow.
Oh, shit.
She gives me the sympathy fucks, I think.
You know, the reality of it is, though, is I don't think people, I set myself up for good opportunities. I help out Scott a bunch as much as I can. And obviously, you know, he talks to landowners down there so that, you know, I can hunt multiple properties, which is nice. And then I practice a lot.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to hunt a lot. So there's certain mistakes, certain times, you know, whether it be drawing a bow, when you should draw, when you shouldn't, what, you know, those are all things I've screwed up on so many times that I've learned over time. And so I've been, you know, good at capitalizing on most of the time on what's presented to me. But I did wound a buck, a good buck, and shit happens. I made a good shot. I just shot a little bit high. I didn't shoot high. He ducked a lot. When he ducked, I was like, fucking thing dropped a foot. And I aimed low.
Yeah.
And he's fine. I mean, we got him on game camera, but I hit him high.
Other than that, I had pretty good luck. I didn't really have any issues. I shot one doe who spun real hard and in the cold. It was it cold. I don't think I hit full draw either because I was freezing my balls off. And I luckily got her in the femoral. She ran 50 yards and tipped over. And I mean, shit happens. I know people don't like to talk about it, but I try to be pretty honest with it so people understand, like,
because it's gonna happen.
Everybody has issues at one time or another. Yeah, you just gotta kind of have a short
term with a bow or a rifle, because it's happened both to me.
Hell yeah.
What I was gonna say, and like those whitetails, how many of them? The percentage of them dipped on your string?
Well, at first there wasn't a whole lot of dipping, but then, you know, you sit in a stand longer, they get smarter. Not too in Texas. I don't aim very often unless it's dead calm and no wind. I aim low and a little back, and they actually kind of launch down to rock it out, and they drop into the air. So I aim almost mid body and a little low, and they drop. And Brian Broderick with Day Six, he's the one that taught me that. He's like, dude, you got to aim mid body low, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. He's right. They drop.
Because they do drop.
They drop down and back. And if it's super quiet, I'll do that. The thing with the recurve is it's so quiet. Like, there's several different deer I have shot that I've shot them, and the other ones just kept feeding. Like, there was initial jump, jump.
Yeah.
And then they start feeding again, where with a compound.
No, they're gone.
Shit don't happen. Yeah, they bounce.
See, and that's why I like my setup, because my FOC is so fucking high right now. Oh, man, I don't know. Before we get carried away too much, I want a big shout-out to this company, the man himself, CaffaroInternational.net. Man, how's that thing going?
Caffaro.net. No international. It's going good. Man,
same. Caffaro.net. The new website's up, I see.
Yeah, we got the new website up, which actually was not on purpose.
I love it when that happens.
Well, what happened is we, you know, through the transfer of the company, you know, you have to transfer all the credit card, old credit card from the old company to the new. And SiteGround, we had the old credit card, and Nate, and he didn't really think about it. He re-upped our SiteGround with the old credit card, and they don't mess around. When your credit card doesn't go through,
yeah,
they delete your website, all of it.
Oh, fuck.
And so we woke up to no website. And so we had been building a new one, but we had a month we were waiting a month to launch it.
Yeah.
Well, we had to speed that shit up. We launched it about 4 hours later because we had no website.
Yeah, when you guys are all on the web.
Yeah, yeah. But no, things are going good. We're looking at new buildings, bigger buildings. So that's good. And ramping up, you know, looking at, you know, to get shorter ship times, growing. We, you know, we work game bags. We got a material that we've been working on for our own game bags. Well, you know what? I can't talk too much about all the stuff we're working on, but, you know, I'd say Caffaro in the next 4 or 5 years will definitely be what I've wanted it to be. And mostly that, nothing against, you know, Patrick and the family. It's just Chad is hungry like I am, and we're trying to do the things the right way in growth, but we're also looking at expanding, whether it be, you know, different backpacks, more in the tactical community, clothing, kid carriers, chest harnesses, all kinds of different stuff. Man purses that have specific compartments.
Fucking told you guys pistols. A fucking fanny pack was in it. Yeah. Fucking 2 years ago, bro, and you guys are missing the bill.
Yeah, it just takes time to do all this, so we're trying to do it slow and steady so we do it right and not rush anything.
I'm excited, man, because I went down there and talked to Frank a little bit, and, man, you guys are just fucking way busy, way fucking busy. I was like, dude, you don't even got time to talk to me no more. I get it. So what do you got next coming up?
Man, my schedule is pretty insane. So I was asked to do a TV show, I think it is.
Called
Hunt Wars, and initially they wanted me to go against Jeff Sposito, the owner of Stone Glacier. He didn't want to do it, so they called Barklow. So it would be me versus Barklow, and we'd be with Big Chino Outfitters. And not that we'd have guides, it's just we'd be on, you know, their land, or they'd point us in the right direction or whatever. So I got the first part of December, I'm hunting with Levi, and I think Trump Jr.'s coming too in Mississippi. I've got two more whitetail hunts in November, and I'm going to bring Amy down there. Then in December, Mississippi, the Hunt War thing. I've got an MLD, I think with Corbin's Archery. He asked me if I wanted to come hunt mule deer with him, and it's an MLD tag. So mule deer with him, mule deer with Scotty and Amy, and then Owdad. And then I got too much hunts. And then another mule deer in Arizona in January. And I'm missing a hunt somewhere. Anyway, and then I'm going to guide for Scott for Owdad.
Right. Well, you go to Arizona twice, I think you said.
Yeah, if I do that Hunt Wars thing, I'll go there twice. You know, once in December and once in January.
You're going to need like probably another 3 or 4 freezers. Maybe Kafaro should start working in freezers. Some freezers.
No, we're good. We already got it all planned out. We got plenty of room. We're good.
Well, yeah, I got a brand new one over here ready to fill up too. So if you run out,
bring her down. All right, I'll bring you some buffalo.
That would work.
You want some, Cody?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's good. We had some the other night.
Did you?
We ate the tenderloins the night I got back.
Did would you make a lot of burger out of that?
I just did standard processing, but there was 230 pounds of scrap meat for burger. So,
oh my God, your dogs will love that though.
Oh yeah. Well, the dogs are funny because what we do, we mix up broccoli and apples, you know, raw meat and sweet potatoes, and then they
kill it.
Well, they'll eat a pound in 5 seconds.
Oh my God,
maybe 10 on a slow day. So they engulf, they love it.
Their ass. Their farts are fucking bad. Because I just smelled one of yours, and they fucking, it is not good.
They're on a high-protein diet. Those dogs are funnier than
it's
hell.
Like a fucking caveman diet, bro.
At 4 months, they're 54 pounds.
54 pounds at 4 months right now?
It's funny, too, because they sleep outside, but when I let them in the morning, they want to get in the bed. Yeah. But they can't jump yet on the bed, so they get their front feet on it, and then I pick their asses up. Well, at 54 pounds each, you know, they dive on Amy and wake her up and lick the shit out of her, and then they just take up the whole bed basically and kick us off. But, yeah, and then they come down and work out with me, and I'm doing push-ups. They're licking my face. They're super chill dogs.
That's good. Did Cody Covey get one, too?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because I started seeing, was it Emily, his girl?
Bill. Yeah, they call him Bill.
Bill? Yeah. The dog's Bill?
Yep.
Yeah, because I was like, God damn, that looks like Snyder's dog.
Yep. Yep, he got the same from the same litter.
God damn. How big are their dumps, dude?
They're not that bad now. Although, you know, you go a day and don't clean up the pen, there's 5 or 6, you know, times two, so 10 piles of dog shit between the two of them. So there's a lot of, we got a poop bucket downstairs.
I was going to say, holy cow.
Yeah, they take big poops, or they take a lot of them.
Damn. I don't know. I'm excited. I get to go. I'm back from fucking Dubai, and I'm fucking excited to go back in the fucking woods, man.
What's your next hunt?
I actually have another B tag here, muley deer here on the private land. That's a B tag right up here where I hunt at.
Yep, yep.
So I'm going to go do that, and then I'm going to go to Nebraska. I think I'm going to go to Nebraska in the next week or two and check it out. And then we're going to hook up with the vets and hit up Kansas, and we're hunting on the Missouri-Kansas border, so we get a hunt back and forth.
Land of the Giants. There's big deer over there.
That's what I hear, so we'll see. I don't know. I was checking the guy's site out, and he was telling Mike from Hero Sports, the guy that put this together, he's going to give two hunts for the vets, and we get a half price hunt too. So I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it, and we get to kill $4 with that.
What time of year?
End of November and December.
So you'll be in the rut.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's
cold
crazy
as fuck. I said, hey, do you have a box blind?
It's funny, like the different areas you hunt, and I by no means am a whitetail expert, but there's certain areas you can snort wheeze a buck and he'll come running in, and other way, you know, they just run away, and it no different than elk. There's areas you can elk call, but you know what? There's only a few places I've ever hunted, but last year in Texas, right on the Oklahoma border where I rattled, was rattling in 7, 8, 9 deer every morning, you know, snort wheezing them in. And you know, Oklahoma's the same way. Kansas, there's spots like that. And, you know, when you snort wheeze, it sounds like I totally screwed it up, but it's like this crazy noise. It's like,
oh, that's pretty good.
And you hear that in the woods and you're like, what the hell? Well, you know, the first time you hear a snort wheeze, it's not something natural you're used to. Same with a buck grunt or whatever. And when I first heard one years ago, I'm like, what was that? I was like, what is it?
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
But then later on, you kind of learn, you know, obviously to speak the language a little bit better. And Kansas, where you're going, is that is a rattling, grunting, snort wheezing place. I mean, that you will have fun there, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, and I've never hunted Kansas. I've had a couple opportunities to hunt there, and it's never worked out. But, dude, and you can throw corn out there in Kansas, too.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. And see, in Nebraska, you really can. You just got to freaking...
It's going to be 200 yards off it, I think, in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and usually we're hunting right on the corn stalks anyways in the cornfield, so that's pretty much the food plot right there anyways.
Well, I've tried to explain to people, you know, you really don't shoot big bucks off of corn very often. So what I do, and we get creative, and that's one of the other reasons I'm successful, is I don't really always get, you know, if there's a feeder somewhere, I get a ways, you know, I'll get 150 yards off of it where it's coming from either the bed to feed or feed to bed, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, where they're going to go from bed, hit the corn, and then between the corn and the ag, I'll have my tree stand.
Okay.
That way, because they just don't come in to feed corn berry. I mean, they do sometimes. I'm not saying never, but the chances of a big, mature 5-year-old buck coming into to corn in broad daylight is not overly high. But they'll come into it, or they'll not want to leave their does, and so they'll skirt around it. And that's where I try to ninja myself in is set up to where, you know, it's within a couple hundred yards of a feeder, because there's feeders everywhere in Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And try to set up to where they're going to come by me on the way to the corn or on the way from ag to corn on the way to bed, to their bed. So I try to set up that way, and it's worked really well for me.
That's kind of what I've been doing is on the whitetail is – it's usually right at fucking, it's either early morning, but I've had more success at night when those big bucks come chasing those does in the cornfield.
Yeah.
That's been my luck, has been watching the cornfields coming right, and they won't go in the middle of the cornfield. They'll come right on the outskirts of it. And that's usually right where I set up my blind. And that's where I've been lucky. I mean, don't listen to me. I just hit fucking state records, you know. I just shoot state records. So, I mean, I don't know.
The only thing with a blind, depending upon where you're at, is they are a little blind skittish unless you have it set up for a while. They'll get used to it. But I tell you, that redneck blind looks like a hay bale.
Yep. That looks pretty sweet,
fucking deadly. I know. I've only hunted with one, hunted in one a few times. But, I mean, even as a human, you walk up to it and you're like, oh, it's a hay bale. I mean, it looks just like a hay bale, and they're warm, which is cool.
Right.
You know, and they're quiet. And I've only, like I said, I've only been in one a couple of times. But if I lived in the Midwest, I'd own a bunch of those redneck blinds.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
Yeah, they're heavier than shit, and they're expensive, but they're worth it.
Yeah, I've hunted out of one of them, and it wasn't a redneck. It was kind of like a homemade one.
Yeah,
and it fucking looked good, and they put hay barrels around it.
Bale.
Yeah, same. Shut the fuck up. And it was like insulation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it was like awesome.
Yeah. Well, you got to be, you know, people ask all the time, like, what's harder to kill? Physically, a 5-year-old mule deer is harder to kill than a whitetail in the high country, obviously.
Right.
But as far as, you know, the brain of a whitetail, a 5-year-old whitetail is definitely going to be one of the hardest things you'll ever kill, because they just get smart. They're, you know, depending upon where you're hunting, they're hunted more, a lot more pressure. You know, the generally in a lot of those states, the rut is right in the middle of rifle season. Mm-hmm. You know, Oklahoma, rifle season opens up in the peak, like right in the middle of the rut, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, you can do it, obviously. And you know, I'm hunting, you know, chunks of public and private in some areas. Somewhere it's just private. And depending upon what's surrounding you, you know, if you have, depending on what ag is surrounding you or who's planted what or how many feeders. I mean, there's so much that goes into all that shit to get put yourself in front of an old mature whitetail. And I would say, you know, like I'm not a professional whitetail hunter. I just do what I'm told. I just sit down with where I'm at and talk to people that know what they're doing and know the land. Look at aerial, look at aerial maps and then figure out where I want to set up from there. Cause they got to eat, they got to sleep, and they got to pump. Those three things, if you figure out where they're doing all those things, you're going to kill one.
I know it's kind of a touchy subject with them right now, but I'm fucking blown away on the fucking whitetail that Bomar's fucking kill.
Oh yeah, they kill big ones.
I'm blown away, dude. Like, he just fucking knows how to fucking
They put a lot of work into it. You know, they put a lot of game cameras up. I mean, and they're very diligent about what they do as far as, you know, if it's, as far as scent, wind, when they're going in and everything else. And if they're not getting on one in one spot, where they're going to move to. But yeah, it is sensitive. I mean, I don't think they're guilty. I've talked to Josh in depth, and I know things I can't even talk about on air because they'll probably get in trouble. The thing is with that is they're just, that could be anyone at any time. Because there was a gun in one of the videos, they said he finished his deer off with a rifle. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. I think is one of the charges. I'm not 100% sure. And it's because there's a gun in the video. Well, everyone has a gun in their truck.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, like what we were just talking about with you, our dad hunting. And just what you were doing with the deer hunting, coyote hunting.
Yeah.
We
always have a gun in the
truck. Yeah, fuck, I always have a gun in the truck car, too. I mean, you never know. But I don't know if they're guilty, not guilty. I don't really give a fuck, honestly. I don't. It's none of my fucking business.
Stay out of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's none of my fucking business. I do what I tell you what I do like about them is I like seeing what the fuck they're doing to catch these big-ass fucking mule deer. How he sets up the scrapes and shit. Like, I watch that shit because I'm like, oh, that shit makes sense, you know? Yeah.
Well, and he's every year producing giant whitetails. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lee Lakoski and the Drury guys, they're all the same. There's other names. I'm not a whitetail guy. I know all of them. But yeah, I know what it takes as far as hunting big, big whitetails. And, and again, I'm no master, but... Is it physically hard? No, other than freezing. But there is a lot of time and effort that
preparation.
Goes into it.
Well, like right now, I had my buddies go out and fucking put all my trail cameras up now because I can't get back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And they're all moving still at night, dude. All the deer that I am watching are at night still.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, to me, I'm like, well, I'm not going to go waste my time now yet. You know, but it can churn just like that.
I was just
going
to say, and it's weird. One day you're going to get a call. They're like,
dude,
they're out in the day.
Exactly.
Well, it was weird because, like, I had people message me, there's no way you had a hot doe under you. And I didn't want to get into an argument, but it's no different than elk. If you look at the breeding cycle and you look at the birthing cycle, they're fucking in October, right? Just like elk are breeding in August. So if you look when those babies pop out and you do the math, they're having some sex in August, elk are, and in October for whitetails. Are they all in the rut? No, of course not. But if you see a buck, like I was watching, and he had his head straight up her ass chasing her, is she hot? Well, depending upon your definition, obviously he's interested. He's smelling something.
Yeah.
And he's chasing her. So those are the things you look for. The rut is starting to get going. And then my last sit when I was out there, I watched a younger 3.5-year-old buck chase a doe for 400 yards all the way full sprint. She was running, trying to get away from him. And then when they finally stopped, she peed. And when she peed, he stopped and he sniffed that pee for 4 minutes and then took off after her again.
Really?
Those are all signs. I mean, things are kicking in. One thing on the game camera, but don't think about, if you see like right here on a doe that it's roughed up, she just got bred. That buck, they don't have hands, right? It's not like when you're behind your wife grabbing her ass, right? They got hoofs, so they lock on, not to do like this, and it roughs the shit out of the side of them.
That makes
so
sense.
If you see these two really rough marks on the back of a doe in front of their hips, she's got bread.
Holy shit, I just learned something.
Yeah, so...
Who said this fucking podcast ain't educational?
So, and that's what you're looking for on those. So when you see that, most people look at game photos. They don't even look at that.
Yeah, I didn't. I've never even thought about that.
I look at that on all the does at that time because you know she just got bred, and that means obviously other does are going to start kicking in or are going to become hot, and the rut's starting to kick in. And again, like, it's their hair stays screwed up like that for a little while because you can imagine they're squeezing the shit out of her, and it's – perfect spots. And if you watch a buck breed a doe, he's got his front legs around her holding on for dear life, so it makes a mark on their fur, and you can tell.
That makes fucking total sense, honestly. Like, fuck, well, what I do is usually, and I know this is different from like where I hunt in Nebraska to out here right now, I got deer fucking like crazy in my back off my deck, right? And I'm looking, and there's starting to be a doe or a buck on these does that always come here. The buck's neck is not swollen at all, but he is fucking following them.
Yeah, and see, we've got six bucks, but two's necks are really starting to swell.
Up by your place?
Yeah, the other four aren't. But that's why this place I've got that, you know, I was telling you about, I can hunt, it's on the way to work. I'm just driving through there every morning, glassing for 45 minutes.
Yep.
Eventually, one of those bucks is going to come in because there's between 12 and 18 does every morning. But yeah, that's what you're looking for. And you know, with the whitetail thing is, and I learn stuff all the time. And again, the best thing to do when you learn is, you know, hunt with guys that know about whitetail.
Right.
And I don't, the calling and things like that, like, I know enough to be dangerous, but there's some guys that like, they're, you know, you hunt with a guy that's called elk his whole life. He knows exactly what to call, when to call, what. Whitetail hunters, you know, like, half the time if I snort wheeze, I'm about half scared. Like, fuck, am I going to scare this off? Should I snort wheeze? And I've done it a few times where it came right in. It's like, fuck, I'm the master.
Yeah.
I do it again. And I'm like, oh, that sounds horrible. That deer's running away. Because I don't snort wheeze all the time. It's not that difficult of a noise.
I've just been lucky enough to grunt call.
Yeah.
I'm pretty safe with the grunt call.
Yeah.
And because usually if he's going to come, he's going to come. But usually if I grunt call, if I snort wheeze.
Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
It's gone, dude.
Well, the thing I've been lucky enough with is in good spots is listening to them, the noise they're making. Mm-hmm. And then you learn a ton, no different than elk hunting. You know, the different, because you've got different grunt calls. Obviously, there's like tending grunts and things. Anyway, you know, I don't hunt whitetail as much as a lot of guys. And so I'm learning all the time, you know, with that and when to grunt and why, how long or whatever. And a lot of that stuff I'm learning from
being in the tree stand.
Yeah, being in the tree stand, listen to bucks.
Well, obviously you're doing something right if you're fucking smacking deer left and right up in Texas.
Well, Scott puts me in good spots. We follow the wind. I don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, obviously the wind is good and probably being quiet.
Yeah, yeah, and movement, you know. I mean, you know, some deer are a little bit more cracked out than others, but.
How high were your tree stands?
12 to 18 feet.
Okay.
So, you know, the ladder stands are 12 to 16, and then there's a couple hang-ons, and you don't have to get super high where I'm at. You know, some of those whitetail guys get way up there. Blacktail hunters get, I mean, we're talking nosebleed. But, you know, for me, when you set up the stand back cover, you can get away with a lot more. So I really try to make a hide when we're putting up stands, whether even with a climber or not a climber, even with a ladder. I want to drop that thing in right into the thickest cover I can. So I'm literally in a sniper's hide up there. So I can move, I can get some movement. And you can tell when you're in more of a buzzard set is what I call it, when you're really kind of out there hanging on a bald tree, you still shoot deer. You don't get away with as much movement, where in some of those sets, I don't have any issue. You know, I've got good back cover. I can get away with a lot of movement, and as long as you're not making noise. And that's another thing, too. You know, there's different, like, clothing-wise, obviously screwing around with your backpack, what you're doing. I mean, when you're, you know, especially when that rut first – kicks in and those bucks are really chasing does. They're just searching. Turkeys the same way, same with elk. They are just moose the same way. They're just running around trying to find a hot doe. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the fuck is that one I shot last year, that crazy wizard hand acorn buck. Dude, he came into my rattling, scared the shit out of me. I was not ready. And he just I was bouncing four antlers off the ground at one time, make it in the brush, just dropping them. And I mean, there was no bait on that. No one had hunted that. No one had baited that. There was nothing there. Right place, right time. And that buck was cruising for does and came into a rattle, and I got lucky and shot him.
That's fucking nuts. I don't know. How do you fucking piss in a tree stand? Do you take a lot of fucking milk jug bottles or what?
You know, it depends on where I'm at and what's going on. Some guys spit out of the stand. So I actually had a couple videos guys saw. I bring a gallon jug and I spit and pee in the same jug.
Yeah, that's
that's disgusting.
Yes, I don't know. I agree. I think, but I honestly, like, I would have done the same thing, but I would just brought another spitter.
I do not think pee affects. I do not have any issue pissing off the tree stand for scent. When you if there's deer around, is the problem is it's fucking noisy. You're pissing 16 feet off the dead leaves, right? They're going to hear you. And so the jug is not because I'm worried about scent with the pee. I've had multiple people tell me after a few seconds, piss is piss, whether it's from a deer or a human. I don't know if that's true or not, but noise wise, piss off a fucking stand when a mule deer or a whitetail doe.
Yeah, that's gone.
Oh fuck yeah, it's getting the hell out of there. So I pee in that. But it's funny too. You got to angle your whiz accordingly so it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Like squeezing the tip of it, then it burns, so it doesn't make no much noise.
My problem is I got so many layers on it, and it's fucking cold. I got.
I made that post. I posted a fucking pancake stack.
Yeah,
I had so many guys say, "Yeah, it's horrible trying to pull 3 inches of dick through 5 inches of clothing."
It is horrible. I'm in there fucking like I'm trying to gut a fucking fish or trout or something.
Oh yeah, well. I put hot hands down in by my junk and I put them on, you know, I'll have them on my back towards my kidneys. And then I have them in my pockets, obviously.
Yeah.
And I try to, you know, I saw a post, somebody was talking shit on Kafaro Insiders about this guy probably uses hot hands in a ground blind. And somebody immediately is like, Snyder uses hot hands. It's like, fuck yes, I use hot hands. I use whatever it takes to stay in the stand.
I got three boxes in that cupboard right there because I fucking use them and I got fucking Mr. Buddy heaters like crazy. Yeah.
You know, The ground blind thing, like there's pros and cons to everything, right? I've shot a lot of bucks out of ground blinds. As long as you set it up early.
Yeah.
It's really not. I mean, you get away with more movement. And usually one of the things Scott and I started doing when we set them up is we rake out to dirt underneath it so there's no noise. And then we take that dirt, cover the edges so the wind is blocked. And, you know, the ground blind thing, like shooting through the mesh, guys, I shoot through the mesh. You know, unless it's really icy, obviously I pull it down. But when the mesh is up, it's a lot harder for them to see, and I don't have any issue, you know, with a mesh. But you also want to make sure your ground blind set up accordingly, where you're not fucking around moving windows up and down. You got to be super careful with that too, especially when there's no wind.
Right. I see. What I do is I don't fucking just have my blind out in the middle of the open. I brush that bitch in with like cedars.
Yeah.
So that's where my sets are next to cedars. So I mean, I don't know. Very often do I fucking put a fucking blind out in the middle open and hope to God it works. Yeah. I usually brush them in with cedars or corn stalks if I'm in the corn, if there's still standing corn. But I don't know. Fuck Snyder. Fuck. I'm glad I got you on here. I'm glad you're fucking here. We're in the middle of fucking remodeling this fucking studio into a real studio. I'm excited, man. I figured we weren't going to have any podcasts until we were done, but I was like, Snyder can handle the mess.
Yeah, I don't care. I got to do a bunch. We've been running behind at Kafaro as well, but I got to do some videos. I want to do one on shot angles with a 3D target just so people understand anatomy and, you know, everything else on the different shot angles. And I got broadheads and, you know, the penetration tests and everything. But, you know, with the rest of the season going on, I'm kind of, you know, the Mississippi hunt, you know, Levi keeps sending me these giant bucks. And so I'm excited about that one. I only shoot one. So I told Levi, I'm like, dude, you better just give me one arrow. I might fall out of a tree and black out. And the hunt with Big Chino, I'm looking forward to that because I just spot and stalk mule deer is fun. Awesome.
That's your shit.
Yeah. And then guiding with Scotty will be fun. We've got a pile of guys coming down for our dad, so that'll be a kick in the ass.
With Levi, were you guys in Mississippi or
in Mississippi?
Okay,
yep. Somewhere on the river bottom. In fact, I got to buy my plane ticket and figure out where the hell I'm supposed to fly into. I think I got to rent a car. I really don't know.
And when is that?
December. Like I think he wanted me to fly down maybe the 7th of December, or the 5th or something.
Holy shit! And he kills fucking big whitetail, dude.
He just killed a monster in Texas.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to be setting up pretty good in that.
Yeah, I like Levi. He's funny.
Yeah, he seems fucking really cool. What about Amy? What does Amy have
left? So Amy's got, I got her a mule deer tag. She's got a white, so she's got a whitetail hunt, a mule deer hunt, and an owl dad hunt for sure. And then, well, she'll probably shoot a couple of javelinas as well. So my big thing with her is spot and stalk mule deer. I want her to shoot a big buck spot and stalk. So I'm not going to hunt until, you know, I'm just going to be in her hip pocket as much. That's probably going to drive her crazy until she puts a big deer down. So
that'll be cool. That'll be fun for her because she hasn't. Well, she shot that doe already this year.
Yeah.
So that kind of broke the ice, I think. Yep. She's ready to go, huh?
She got a doe and a doe mule deer, and then she shot that antelope. So, and she'd never shot a gun before that day.
Oh, shit.
The 2 days before, I went over all the safety and had her dry fire quite a bit and get used to the scope, familiarization, and everything else. And, you know, we got out there, and it's different. And I can offhand shoot unbelievably well, and I take that for granted. And I had her take an offhand shot at like 120 or something, and she missed. And she's like, "I'm fucking not you." And I'm like, "I'm not mad. Don't yell at me." I was like, "You asked where you hit, and I told you." And I screwed up. I didn't I should have grabbed like a trigger stick or a bipod. But when we went up, I thought we were going to be able to lay in the prone and use a bipod. But the grass was too tall. But she ended up, she tipped one over at 425.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a poke.
Good buck, too. Yeah.
That's a poke. Do you have any more plans to go out there with Nestor at all?
Only if he needs help. I'll go help him out. Because I think I'm going to help you guys out.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. He hasn't got back to us the date we're supposed to go. I know Justin was bugging him. He's that big monster muley he fucking just posted, right? And he fucking sent it to Justin, and Justin's like, "All right, you get me a fucking buck like that, I'll let you fucking have the belt for 2 months." Because Nestor wants to wear the belt and shit. And Justin's like, "You can fucking have that belt if you give me a buck like that."
Oh, that's funny as shit. Yeah. I got to get him on the podcast soon.
Well, he said he would do it when he got back. And it's crazy. Like, out there, it was definitely different. Fucking my sleep schedule still fucked up, but it was different. I tell you what I do like about Abu Dhabi. Dana White has that fucking shit dialed in.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, he has it dialed in. Like, I can't believe it. And the only thing I didn't like is, you know, you show all the fucking flight over and, you know, how, like, the UFC's taking care of, like, all the fighters. And, well, yeah, they definitely are, in which, you know, they are the important ones. But fuck the coaches, dude. The coaches got stuck in coach back there. And going up there was not a big deal. I'd fly coach because we had the whole row. It's a big-ass plane, right?
Yeah.
We had TVs. We had – I mean, it was nice. Don't get me wrong. We could lay on the fucking layout, sleep. I mean, it was a fucking 18-hour flight.
Yeah.
From Vegas. But on the way back, it was the last fight card of the fucking series, right, on Fight Island.
Yeah.
So you had the whole production team, the fucking, all the commentators, the whole staff of the UFC, all on this plane going back.
Oh, good Lord.
It was fucking jam-packed, dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to realize, like, all these people have been working for 5 weeks up there. So they got drunk as fuck that night, and they stayed up the whole time, right? Well, their sleep was fucked up, too, so they stayed up pretty much the whole time just getting shit-faced on the plane. And because it's unlimited booze on the plane, right? And, dude, I'm telling you, it was a fucking party on that bus, on that plane ride. And I'm trying to sleep, right? I'm trying to get my sleep schedule. And I'm like, dude, this is not going to work. And you couldn't lay down because there's people next to you.
Yeah.
I mean, being stuck, dude, it was the worst, dude. That was the fucking worst fucking flight I've ever done by far.
I've had a few of those flights, one in a C5 Galaxy that was, you know, 17, 18 hours, however long it was, and they're not good. I mean, what do you do, right? You're in a fucking airplane.
I fucking took my first fucking, what do you call those, Annex bars or Annex?
Xanax.
Xanax, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
I took one of those motherfuckers. I was like, man, this shit ain't working.
Was it Xanax?
Yeah, the ones that make you sleep.
Oh, what's it? It's not Xanax. What's the other one?
Yeah, Xanax bar, ain't it?
Xanax is an anti-anxiety.
What the fuck was it?
What
was it? What is it? What do you call those, Dre? You're a college student.
You do drugs, Dre. Right?
Yeah, what is it called? Yeah, Xanax, yeah.
God damn it. That's not the one I'm thinking of. I would recommend doing it personally. I know too
many people have been fucked. Yeah, I was fucked. Yeah, so I took one of them, and I was like, oh, this shit ain't working, right? And we were, because we flew from Vegas, and you got to fly over to, like, Ireland, past Ireland. We were in the Northern Lights on the coming back. We were flying in that shit. That shit was sweet. We were going past Iran and all that, right? And I'm like, man, this shit don't work. So you had the map on the screen, like, where you're flying at. And
ambient. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, like, yeah. Ambient. No, I didn't take that.
No, that'll jack you up.
Yeah. Oh, ambient will make you walk through the street naked.
Like, yeah, no, I didn't take that.
Okay.
So I took the Xanax, and I was like, oh, we were actually going over, like, Nebraska and South Dakota area.
Yeah.
And I was fucking getting, I put my order in for my food and shit from the stewardess, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Just give me a ginger ale. I'm going to try to go to sleep. Fuck, dude. I woke up past fuck. We were in fucking the Middle East by the time I woke up. I was like, holy shit, this shit did work. And we still had another 8 hours to go, but everything still worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My ass cheek was, I couldn't move.
Couldn't walk.
I couldn't move at all. But yeah, dude, you know what's crazy is one of the persons that, I guess they took one of them.
Yeah.
Few rows behind us. I guess he pissed himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
He took too many and pissed himself in the fucking on the plane ride.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, well, you know, if your pee hard on doesn't stop your pee, you're definitely at a different level of sleep.
Right? I know, dude.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. I don't know. Got anything else we want to cover, man?
No.
God damn, Cody.
No, I just been sitting here listening.
I know.
So, actually, what I was doing is I saw Aaron's got two kill clips. One he's spitting and one he's drinking out of at the same time. And I was just waiting
yep.
for him to mix those cans up.
So no, he's sober, dude.
I accidentally spit in Brian, the guy. I helped him out on his goat hunt the day we were scouting. He had, like, I wasn't paying attention. I think he had a swallow left and I'd spit in it. He drank it. I felt horrible.
Oh, I would have been pissed, dude.
Yeah, he took it. Like, he was pretty cool about it. I felt bad. But that poor kid. We shot every air we had on that day, and I ran those guys to death.
Oh, wait, that's when you went to help them on a goat hunt, right?
Yeah.
Same area that we went on?
Yeah, so you know where I shot mine on the left?
Yeah, I saw pictures. And I was like, I know that area.
You keep going, and you go to the next, you know, like, terrace, and there's another lake, and then you go to the summit.
Yeah.
They're fucking at the top. Top. As high as you could go, 13.3, 13.4. We went all the way up there, and... Man, he was just nervous. He's got target panic. We shot every air we had, sub 40. Well, no, there's a couple 50-yard shots, 128, I think. And we went back in. He shot one with a gun the next day. But I felt bad for his David D. Austin because he's not used to that altitude. And that guy's fit, and
that's your camera guys, right?
Yeah, and yeah. He was with us the whole way, and somewhere in the middle there. He was like his head. He was fucked up. Like yeah. I could tell, he was shaking his head, and he texted me. He's like, "Dude, I'm done." He's like, "I can't go," and I'm like, "Dude, don't feel bad." And he's like, "My head is killing me." I'm like, "Dude, drop altitude. Go get down there by Frank, and just drink water." Because we were still shit, dude. I spent 4 more hours after he went down on that mountain running around trying to get on those goats, and the last we had 2 arrows left. I went back and I got Brian because I was trying to pop up and down out of these rocks and get these goats to start moving towards Brian. It wasn't working. So I climbed out of the hole, went over to got Brian, and I said, "Dude, I think we can climb these cliffs and get it right above it." He's like, "Okay." So, you know, we got down, and I said, "Once we get to this knob, should be between 25 and 40 yards. All of them are bedded there." And he had a nanny tag. We got right over the top, ranged one, I said, 37 yards, dead asleep. And, I'm like, "Dude, smoke it. We're golden." And he got the half draw, hit the trigger, punched himself in the face.
Oh, my God.
Launched the arrow into orbit. And in my mind, I'm like, "Man, we're off to a fucking shaky start. Fuck, we got one arrow left." And they all stood up. I'm like, "Dude, don't worry. Calm down." I was like, they're not leaving. They just heard the noise. And they're kind of just, you know, looking around. And I was like, "Same yardage." And he shot right underneath it. And then we walked out because we had no more arrows.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. That was 39,000 steps is what I put on the ground that day.
Yeah, I would have
20-something thousand over 13,000 feet. It was a rough day.
Probably after the third or fourth miss, I would have said, "I got corona." Yeah, no.
Frank was smart. He stayed down below watching them. You know, when we went in, but I don't think people probably realize, you know, me living at 10,000 feet is a huge advantage, and I deal well with altitude, pretty well with altitude already. So I truly felt bad for those guys
when I was running around trying to push them up the hill, because it was altitude just as bad. I mean, it's just hard to push yourself.
I know, dude. That's why I try to tell my wife. I'm like, dude, we live up here. Yeah. I'm like, I got to get some extra cardio in. Come on. Let's play a little bit. She's like, that's not cardio.
Oh, shit. It makes me breathe hard. It's cardio. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, shit.
Well, fuck, man. I don't know. Anything else you want to add? How'd the garage sale go? I was gone for that.
It was insane. Oh, I was on the mountain for that. I came in for like 30 minutes on the second day.
Yeah? When it was raining? I saw that on the
there was like 300 or 400-yard line.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was amazing, you know, and it made us kind of relook at, you know, kind of starting a mountaineering backpacking store along with Kafaru in our new building. You know, like MSR reactors and headlamps and, you know, boots and clothing and things like that.
Yeah, one shop stop.
Yeah. And you know, basically set it up to where, you know, we have literally everything Frank and I use, you know, so you can get the packs, the stoves, the sleeping pads, knives, camo, you know, the whole nine yards, and really go to town, and then also have the ability for on marketing side for tech tips and teaching people things and being able to do teleconferences. You know, one of the buildings we looked at has amazing teleconference rooms, so we can do live Q&As, live videos, things like that, land nav classes. So
wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
How's your little archery shop doing now? I haven't seen it since you left. I've been gone.
It's good, man. We got, you know, I ordered all Last Chance stuff. So we got their arrow saw and press and all the different tools. We got all that dialed in. I'm going to bring a 3D target down there for the anatomy stuff for, you know, for filming. So, you know, it's good. You know, we haven't, you know, time-wise, cause we've been hunting so much. I've been able to do some videos, but not as much as I'd like. So, you know, on downtime, David just films us, you know, doing the videos. And then obviously trying to keep up with the podcast has been a crisis because we keep getting hate mail because we haven't been doing as many as we used to.
I bet. Well, you guys are gone. I mean, that's honestly, I like, how many do you put out a week?
We were doing two a week.
Yep.
And that slimmed down a little bit. I just did one with America's Best Bowstrings. I did one with Dudley a little bit before that. Who else did I do one with? Toby with Black Widow on that new Black Widow. They helped me to test out that prototype. Did one with him. So I'm going to do one with Iron Will this week. And have you seen that Fly Girl RN? She's on Instagram. I'm going to do one with her. And
I haven't.
Probably one with Scotty and Wes, too, talking about the hunt. Wes was – he was pretty damn funny when we were out there. He – you know, I don't know shit about horses and cattle ranching. I don't
– yeah.
Not my thing. And those guys are all cowboys. So Brian, when we were at his arena, he had a new mare.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fuck, he hopped on that thing, dude, and it's first time it'd been rode.
Oh, fuck. Was he like a Bronco?
Oh, dude, I could hear him scream, cocksucker, fuck. I mean, man, it was, I was looking like, fuck that. I will break my legs and neck, you know. And
yeah,
he stayed on that thing until it finally calmed down. And Scotty's like, yeah, I'm too old for that bullshit. I've been doing it my whole life. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look healthy.
No, they fucking, they'll go fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. Brian, one of the dude that let me hunt on his land in Oklahoma is cool as shit. His name's Brian Austin. He's cool as hell. Super funny dude.
Yeah.
Hyper. Yeah. Dude's wound for sound. Yeah. He's funnier than shit, though.
Oh, that's awesome. Coz, what you got anything coming up?
Yeah.
You got a rifle tag, don't you?
Yeah, I got a 4-season elk tag. I think they changed it, though. I think it's either sex now.
Oh, cool.
So I can shoot either a bull or a cow. So, yeah, I got that coming up 4-season. I got to figure out what I'm going to do sleeping-wise, though. I was going to take my brother's trailer out there, and he just sold it. So.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, you can take mine, but I'm telling you, man, take that teepee. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun.
I might. It's just me and one other guy.
Tell him. It'll be good, huh?
Yeah, with the stove, right? That's the big thing is when you got that stove, it's a huge bonus. I mean, obviously, if you got a choice to sleep in a travel trailer or a teepee, I'd probably sleep in a travel trailer. But, yeah, as far as it goes, setting them up and everything, it's nice.
Yeah, especially if you're going to park right next to it, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck, it'll be golden. Take a cot. You'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, that it was funny, this hunt war thing, they wanted us to sleep in a wall tent. And I'm like, man, are we sleeping in the wall tent for the greater good of filming? Because if we are, man, I've already got about 70 days on the fucking ground this year. Like, I'm more than happy to sleep in a log cabin, right? Yeah. Like, let's sleep in a lodge, right? We can make it look cool. I was talking to Barklow about it. He's like, Yeah, fuck that, dude. I've got fucking 30 years on the ground. I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, well.
I don't think people realize how much I'm on the ground. It gets old.
Well, I think here's my deal on that. I've done it a few times, not 30 years, and I'm good. I can check that fucking box off. If I got a hotel or fucking on the ground, I'm going to the hotel.
It's funny, I was talking to Cam about that, you know, as far as like people, you know, giving me or him shit or whoever about like private land when you're hunting whitetails or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I don't understand it because you work really hard to get better opportunities and then you get them and people get pissed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to that because it's
it is.
You know, I mean, you kind of beg, borrow, and steal to talk to people and get different opportunities. And, you know, when you get them, I'm kind of amazed some of the different, you know, and I don't get Twitter pated over it, but it's like, man, if I got a choice to hunt, you know, a private, you know, whatever, 400 acres of private or whatever compared to public, yeah, I'm probably going to hunt private land. Now, not private land always, that's not always the case that it's better, but most of the time it's better. And it's like, man, I'm not out there for the greater good of public land. I want to hunt and have a good hunt, whether that's on public or private. And we hunt public a ton as well, obviously. But you know, I just kind of go where the animals are and hope for the best.
Well, you got to look at it like this. When you first started, you did nothing but
public. I couldn't afford anything.
Yeah. And that's why I said, like, I'm at the same boat. Like, all I did, well, in Nebraska, it's all private. It's like, who's asking you in a kiss to fucking hunt on their land? But you got to just kind of go with the punches, man. Like if I'm trying to kill shit, I want to either go on the places where I can go and hunt.
Yeah.
Like this private land tag. Why wouldn't I not hunt private land if I got access to it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we pay trespass fees for turkey, you know, and guys were asking, like, is that public? I'm like, no, it's private. There's we have hunted public, you know, but I'm like, I paid the dude $500 to trespass on his land and shoot three turkeys. Why aren't you hunting public? And I'm like, well, it fucking sucks. So I wanted to hunt private.
Well, and not only that, but you look at it, you pay $500 for a trespass fee. That one weekend, you'll kill out, tag out.
Yeah.
You go public, you're going to fucking go numerous times.
Yeah, burn a lot of gas.
Gas, time away. It's fucking all pans out if you look at it like that.
Well, and I understand where people are coming from. They can't afford. Believe me, you know my history. I slept in a one bedroom apartment for the majority of my life, sleeping on an air pad to be able to afford to hunt. Well, now that I can afford to pay a trespass fee or whatever,
you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But and I totally get it. If guys can't afford it, I couldn't for a long time, and I still can't afford that much. But what I can afford, you know, I save for so I can, you know, hunt as much as I can and extend, you know, and that's another thing. Like some of these hunts, you know, as far as like extending my season, obviously, you know, when you can, like if you can pay a trespass fee and hunt a state or an area that allows you to hunt, whether it be, let's say in Arizona, you know, whether you're paying for a guy to scout for you or you're just, you know, you can go down there blind shot in the dark and go in there or whatever. But I'm always just looking to extend my season. And if that includes paying a trespass fee, then I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. That's the way I am. I'm just trying to fucking, when I go somewhere, I'm trying to kill something.
Yep.
That's just
that way. Is the goal.
I mean, that's just it.
I'm not into bow hiking.
No, I do a lot of that shit. A lot of nature walks.
Nature. Neister.
Yeah, fuck, dude. I got it. So, man. When you leave again?
Me?
Yeah.
Not for a little bit. I got to go fly to Wyoming on the 9th, and I'm there. Then I fly back the 10th, and then I think I'm going down to help Scotty guide a couple mule deer and owdad hunters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yep. Cody Greenwood and cut dude from San Antonio and somebody else. I'm going to help him out with that.
Well, hopefully I can get in the next week or two. Fuck, man. I want to get, as soon as the studio's done this week, I'll hopefully get you and Nestor on. And you can recap on that fucking show.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to roll on that. Yeah, he's definitely wanting to go over his
season. He fucking texts me. Well, he talked and he called me and he's all like, oh, fuck, I got some stories to tell you. And I'm like, well, save them. He's like, oh, yeah, they're fucking, they could be bad, though.
they might not air as good. I'm like, well, maybe you should fill me in before you air it.
Yeah, no shit. Do a quick hot wash before you hop on. Yeah,
because there's been a few where I'm like, oh, fuck this guy.
How many of you had to not post?
One or two? Yeah. Just one. Yeah, one with him. And you know, for me to not to post it,
it's bad.
Yeah, dude, because I don't give a fuck, but damn, I couldn't do it, dude. I couldn't do it. Huh, Cody?
Oh, dude, yeah. It was bad.
The next morning we woke up, we're like, dude.
Both of us at the same time, we're like, hey, dude, like, let's talk about that last night, because.
I, like, literally had to play that fucking podcast on my computer, and I'm like, oh, nope, can't edit that out. Oh, nope, I had to edit everything out.
It's like half the episode would have been edited.
It was not good.
You know what's, it's funny, you know, and I've heard people bring it up about Rogan as far as, you know, kind of toning down or being very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dude, I, you know, it's amazing because, you know, you do a podcast, it's free. So,
right.
And, you know, they have the, like, if I don't like the pool, right, you don't go near water. You know, I don't like Chinese food. You don't go to the fucking Chinese food store. It's pretty common sense. So if you're getting on just to complain, you probably got some psychological issues any fucking way, right? But, you know, even me, and I kind of pretty much say whatever I want, but you get to a point where you're like, before you even open your mouth, you're thinking all of the repercussions, how it should be worded. Because just like that coyote, I didn't walk up and do a photo shoot of a wounded coyote. No. I thought it was dead, hopped out, camera was on, threw the phone in my pocket, finished it off. Immediately, people, no benefit of the doubt. No, hey, man, was that something, you know, did you photograph that a bunch or what? And, you know, he didn't ask the story. It literally was as simple as it sounded. And I probably shouldn't have posted the photo, but it's like I have to think 14 steps ahead of what I'm going to get myself into. And you get to the point where you're jaded and you're like, you know, get to a point where you're like, fuck it, say whatever. Or you kind of start to, cowed, basically.
Well, and you're in a way different fucking, and I'm just getting a fucking just, the head of the beer, you know what I mean? Like, of the trickle of what, you know, like, we even went on the podcast, and you're way more in the outdoor industry than I will ever want to be, right? Like, yeah. I don't want that status unless it comes with a pretty paycheck, you know what I mean? But, like, the stuff that I put out, like, people were like, oh, you know, I get a little grief on it.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like what you guys get, I'm sure.
It's crazy. I mean, Cam actually made a very good explanation of it once, and, he's like, you know, if you got whatever X amount of followers and 2-3% don't like you, well, he's got a million followers.
Yeah.
It's fucking a lot of people that don't like him, right? 2-3%. And really, you look at it, like, I had to block a few people recently. You know, and then they'd message me on Facebook and ask why I blocked them. I'm like, well, I'm not going to deal with you being a fuckhead. What do you mean? Why am I? You know, somebody shows up on my fucking front door screaming at me. Yeah, I'm probably going to kick him off the property. Like, I'm not going to deal with you.
Yeah.
You're only on here to stir up shit. Well, there's just cause, if I say something stupid, yeah, let's talk about it, whatever, you disagree, I get it, but when people purposely just troll to talk shit, I do not understand that. It's like, stay the fuck off the page, you know?
Can you imagine how much shit I got off of this fucking Khabib Gaethje fight?
Oh, Lord.
Can you imagine that? I've never blocked so many fucking people and deleted. And usually I'm just like, whatever. I don't give a fuck, right? I don't care, right? I don't even get in the war with them. But there were so many of them that I was like, listen, you guys have no fucking idea. No idea.
I was talking to Amy about this. She watches sports, you know, and you'll hear people watching a professional football player. And, oh, that dude sucks. And I'm kind of the opinion, and I played sports, is how much does he fucking suck? He's in the NFL.
Yeah.
Does he really suck? Well,
it's a relative sucking.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, he doesn't suck that fucking bad. He's in the NFL. He's
making fucking millions of dollars.
Yeah, 0.01% of the world or the NBA. And then you talk about, like, I got into a few arguments about the Gaethje Khabib thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? If they fought 10 times, who knows how it would have ended up? Obviously, that kid's got an insane amount of heart. His dad died.
Yeah.
You know.
He's 29 and 0 for a reason.
My thing is, okay, smartass, you go get in the ring with Justin.
Yeah.
Let me know how that fucking works out for you. Right?
Well, and it's always been about the jiu-jitsu deal. Like, oh, or, you know, he wrestled, but what's about his jiu-jitsu deal? Well, go in there and you tell Justin that and show me how your jiu-jitsu is going to work when he smacks you and kicks you like he did him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a, I don't know, it's a never-ending battle, whatever you do.
But I'm just like at the point where I was like, all right, maybe I give my 2 cents. And then,
after
you know,
a while,
then,
you're like, fuck it.
Then I was like, fuck this, dude. And that's like the picture that we were sent by the pool the next day. And I was like, look at this fucking guy, Justin. He wrote some fucking deal. He's all like, hey, man, I'll be willing to fly down there and give you guys some pointers on the ground on how to get out of that. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, these guys are fucking serious, dude.
Oh, shit.
Like you're the only black belt in the fucking world. You know what I mean? and it was just fucking crazy. And Justin's like, dude, just fucking don't even fucking argue with them. And yeah. I was like, you're right. I'm done. I'm wasting time here. I deleted it. And that's why Justin fucking put the finger up in the picture
yeah.
of me and him hanging out with like all the keyboard warriors. And I was like, yeah, it's the truth, you know. But guess what? He made a shitload of money. He fucking did his best. And guess what? He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if Khabib really does retire, we're still in the fucking same boat that we are when we fought that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Well, and let's face it, the crew that's left is yeah. not at Khabib's level. So, you know what I mean?
I mean, if you look at it, look what Poirier did to him. Poirier lost to him, too.
Yeah.
Look at Connor did to him. Connor lost to him too. I mean, the guy's a fucking freak. And we were in the fucking back room. He came in. Dude, Khabib was a fucking champ, dude. He came into our room, fucking shook our hand, came in, hung out with us, fucking said he's never been fucking kicked before. Fucking, yeah. He was humble. He's a yeah. humble dude, right? And I said, will you grab me? Can you lock up with me? So we clinched up, and I was like, all right, we're cool. I swear to God. I don't know what a bear trap feels like when it clamps onto you, but that's what it felt like. Like, when he grabbed me, I yeah. was like, oh, fuck, I'm soft.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Well, like,
that's kind of the talk about the high level of where these guys are at. Like, if you're talking about two guys fighting for the belt, talking shit about them, it's like, yeah. Okay, they're at the highest level they can get to. Where are you at? You're probably in your mom's basement eating a fucking Hot Pocket.
Well, it's not even that. Like, it's people that are like coaches.
Yeah.
Like, so you have them, right? Yeah. There's a shitload of them. But then you have coaches that are coaches like UFC guys.
Yeah.
Right? And they were like, well, you guys should have done this. And I'm like, well, why is your fucking guy not even ranked in the top 10 then, motherfucker, if we should have done this?
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like, it's not, and I'm like, dude, come on. Where's your fucking champion at? Where's your fucking guy at?
Yeah.
He ain't even in the top 10.
I get a kick out of all of that, you know, and I kind of, you know, there's a internet police for everything and experts. It's no fucking photography is no different.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of fucking Asians and white dudes yelling at each other, but it's the same shit. It's like, Jesus Christ, no matter, it's human nature, right? No matter where you go.
Oh, you should have done this. Shit. Your setting should have been better. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Whatever it is. And I, you know, now anymore, like, I'm to the point, cause I answer so many questions trying to help people out, you know, cause like Rogan and Dudley both were like, dude, just don't read anything. And I'm like, well, I can't not read it. Yeah. I got to answer questions. But immediately, like, I've probably blocked 75 people in the last 7 days.
Oh, shit.
He's
a hitman.
Well, I was going through paying more attention. And it's like, you know, if you're on here just to stir up shit, I'll just
that's block what you. Because
I'm just trying to help people out when I'm on there.
Yep.
And so if you're on there to fucking cause problems, then I'm, you know, my deal is just to get people to shorten the learning curve, whether that be in tuning or hunting or fitness or whatever I can help with. So if you're on there to be a dick, okay, you're probably gonna get blocked because I just don't have time for it anymore, and I don't give a fuck how many followers I have, so I don't care if it's down or up or not. I just want to help people out. And some people, whatever happened to them at birth, well, they're fucked up because they're only on the earth to cause problems.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know too much as a child.
It's kind of one of those things, you got to watch what you ask for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh man, I need to build this audience. I need this fan base. But fucking every time when you do that, there's fucking bad fucking
shit comes with it. This was a byproduct. Like, this was nothing I wanted. And so, like, Dana's like, are you going to come to the garage sale? I'm like, no, I'm not coming to the garage sale. That's why I hired
you guys.
That's
your job.
And she's like, what are you going to do? I said, come be on the mountain. What I was born to do. I said, I'm going to be looking for goats. You should come down for a day. I'm like, hey, If it works out, I'll come down. So I came down Sunday, and luckily it was slower. And I was like, Dana, it's not my thing, you know. I said, I'm not a people person. And I'm socially awkward in groups. And she's like, everybody wants to talk to you. I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming. I'm like, I'm going to be on the mountain doing what I should be doing, which is, you know, helping guys out and putting animals on the ground. And she's used to it, though. She said we need to get, what are those cardboard bobblehead things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get one. That,
put one there.
I have a sign that says, I'm not here.
That would actually be a good little deal and people could take pictures with you.
Yeah.
It'd be good. Well, fuck, man. I don't know. Are we good?
I think we're good.
Fuck, we talk. I'm glad. Well, you know what's funny is, this will be the last episode in this part of the studio.
Dang.
We're going to move up two floors up. We rented out the whole thing. And we're going to move across the hall.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got Cody helping us out. My boy Walls. He caught COVID in Nebraska, so he couldn't come up.
He didn't really catch COVID.
No, he really is sick. I give him that. I talked to him. He fucking is coughing his lungs out, and I said, yeah, you can stay the fuck away from here. But because I got my man Cody here. But we're going to knock this out here probably this week for sure. It should be all done.
It's looking good so far.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. I'm going to put some high top bar stools in here, I think. Gonna have a few guests maybe want to come and bring their significant others, have drinks in here while we do it.
Amy will drink.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just gonna make it more of a, not such a shop, you know. I'm gonna make it a real studio, and we're on the way of making it look real good. And I don't know, hopefully you guys all like it. For all you patrons, this is what we're doing. We're remodeling it for you guys, keeping the content coming. Man, we're up to almost $600 on Patreon, man. We're moving up in the world.
Heck yeah. Get some gold teeth.
I'm gonna get some, maybe one tooth.
And no kid, yeah.
One tooth.
Put a G on it.
Yeah. G-U. And a
U.
Two.
Like on your buck teeth, put a G and a U.
G-U. Yeah. That'd be a crooked-ass G-U.
One of them slanted.
Well, it's cursive. It's cursive.
Crooked eyes, right? Yeah. When I look at it, it'll probably make more sense.
I'll have to tilt my head just so they can look at it. But yeah, that's what we're doing with it. You know, we're fucking trying to upgrade it, but I'm tired of being stuck in the corner over here.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. So, while we're talking about crooked teeth, 2000, was it 7, 8? Was that when the big flood hit Louisiana? Whatever.
Oh, are you talking about Katrina?
Was it Katrina? Was
that would have been George Bush, whenever that was.
Okay, so a bunch of, you know, Louisianans moved up for construction in here. And I'm not making fun of Creoles, right? But it is hard to understand that specific accent, right? And we're at Granger, and I'm buying a Hilti or a Milwaukee, and Jeremy's with me. And these guys come up. He's like, you need to get yourself a D-Vault. Jeremy's like, what the fuck did you say? He's like, D-Vault, man. And I'm like, dude, I like think he likes to see homos naked.
Yeah.
Because of the fucking. And Jeremy's like, where the fuck are you from? And then he announced Louisiana. And me being a smartass, and I was a bit roided out at that time, I was like, dude, is he Creole? Does he have a fucked up left lazy eye? And, dude, I thought I was going to start a fucking brawl. Oh, man. There was and I'm like, man, I don't know what the fuck you're saying. And I'm like, say Milwaukee. And
you dickhead.
Oh, I was. Well, he was. I tell you what was crazy though. Like when that happened, theft on job sites fucking skyrocketed during all that shit. Like there was people, they would come, they would steal the acetylene cutting torch off the inside of the job that was chained to the to the center pole or the like the I-beams. Then the next day, they would use the same thing they stole from us the day before to cut a hole in the fucking Connex to steal all our shit out of the Connex. I was like, good God, we couldn't leave anything on the job site. And that was right in that, basically, the Depression period, too.
So yep.
I don't know what made me think of that, but.
Well, you saw Crooked Teeth thinking of Louisiana.
Get yourself a D-Vault. Have you guys ever talked to anybody from Newfoundland?
No.
Oh, fuck me running. You better fucking pay attention. Where we hunt moose up there, they're from Newfoundlanders. There's a lot of Newfies there. Man, super cool people. Can't understand a fucking thing they say. I'm not shit. You know what? When we get off this thing, we'll Google Newfoundlanders and listen to. It's a different language, and so it's kind of the same thing with like guys from the deep South Louisiana. You know that's how they talk, but when you're not used to it, you're like,
what?
Why?
That's how my fucking Justin and all those motherfuckers were telling me I was a fucking water boy. You remember the guy off Waterboy?
That's what it is. Farmer Fran?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, boy, you out of date. Yes.
Yeah, that's what they were making fun of me. And they were like, dude, speak fucking English, Luke. And I'm like, I am. Fucking listen. But fuck. All right, boys. We out. I want to give a big shout out to Tito Knives, man. Ultra Light, Ultra Sharp. They've been there from day one. I appreciate you guys over at Luke. Luke, thank you. Type in that GU15. Save it. Save it. Now's the time. Fuck, if you ain't getting, if you ain't gutting shit now with a fucking buck knife or some bullshit Kafaro knife, then you better get a Tito knife. On that note, I also want to say check out cryptech.com. Battlefield the Backcountry. Type in Gladiators 2020. Save that money. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out to Killcliff. Man, I'm going to need another shipment, man. Snyder's here killing all my CBD. Gray's over there drinking all my CBDs. Cody drinking. They ain't even drinking beer this time. They're drinking freaking Killcliff. So type in that GU15 on their site, on both sites. There's CBD. They got two sites, actually. You got to order from one from CBD, and the other one's their sports drink there, Night.
Type in Snyder 15 for Black Rifle Coffee.
Yeah, I saw that, dude. You
fucking, I didn't even know
down.
I fucking had a code.
Hell
they,
yeah.
They called me. They're like, did you know you had a code? And I'm like, no.
No,
like,
that's
well,
cool.
Shit, because I got, you know, lots of people buy it. So Snyder 15, buy Black Rifle Coffee.
And fuck yeah, Snyder 15. I'm going to. Dude, I got to fucking call them guys and be like, hey, I need a fucking Gladiator 16.
Gladiator 16.5.
on that note, man, Snyder, thanks for always coming out here, catching up. I appreciate you. I look forward to having you guys back out here in the new studio.
Heck yeah.
It'll be good.
Sounds good.
Maybe we'll go shoot this week.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I'm ready.
Work
I need to go
our
shoot.
Loft.
Yeah. My loft.
Yeah. You know what loft is, Cody?
No.
Lack of fucking talent.
Oh, there you go.
You got a lot of it.
Luke's got plenty.
Hey, we out of this bitch.